Take your Bibles and turn with me, if you will, to the book of the Revelation, chapter 1. I'm going to begin reading at verse 4 down through verse 18. John, to the seven churches which are in Asia, grace be unto you and peace from him which is and which was and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is a faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth, and to him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and hath made us kings and priests unto God and his Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him, and all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. Even so, amen. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which is, and which was, and which is to come, the Almighty. I, John, who also am your brother and companion in tribulation, and in the kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ, was in the isle that is called Patmos for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet, saying, I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. And what thou seest, write in a book, and send it unto the seven churches which are in Asia, unto Ephesus, and unto Smyrna, and unto Pergamos, and unto Thyatira, and unto Sardis, and unto Philadelphia, and unto Laodicea. And I turned to see the voice that spake with me, and being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks. And in the midst of the seven candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot, and girt about the breast with a golden girdle. His head and his hairs were white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were as a flame of fire, and his feet like unto fine brass, as if they burned in a furnace, and his voice as the sound of many waters. And he had in his right hand seven stars, and out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword, and his countenance was as the sun shineth in his strength. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. And he laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, Fear not, I am the first and the last. I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of Hades and of death. Our subject this morning, or today, whenever it is that you listen to me on the radio, our subject is the eyes of Christ. Today we're going to look at another aspect of our blessed Lord, not only from the emotional standpoint, but also from the physical standpoint with regard to our Lord Jesus Christ. And today we shall look at his eyes for just a moment and see in them a real cause for rejoicing and refreshing, or else a real cause for trembling and fright. My hope is that the Lord will send forth this message in power to every one of you that are listening, and that your hearts will be stirred and moved like as never before. Our lesson falls into these categories. First of all, we're going to look at the various aspects of the eye. Secondly, we're going to look also at the variety found in Christ's eyes as they're set forth in the Word of God. Now, by the various aspects of the eye, we're going to look at two things for just a moment. First of all, we're going to look at the physical eye. The eye of the human body is the most marvelous part of the human body itself. The eye is mentioned 534 times in the Bible. Now God honors the eye, extols the eye, illustrates the eye, condemns the eye, and arraigns the eye. The eye has 800 contrivances to it. Modern optometry has developed a 21-point eye examination. The eyes can flash with indignation, kindle with enthusiasm, expand with devotion, melt with sympathy, stare with fright, leer with villainy, droop with sadness, pale with envy, fire with revenge, twinkle with mirth, beam with love, frown with wrath, and contract with pain. Now God honors the eye, and God also condemns the eye. And we find that there are various kinds of eyes that are found in the Word of God. Follow along with me now, if you will, and take your Bibles and turn back to the book of Proverbs, chapter 10, and we find the first aspect of the eye. God condemns this is what is called the winking eye. In Proverbs, chapter 10, and verse 10, we read, listen to it. He that winketh with the eye causeth sorrow, but a prating fool shall fall. And then in Psalm, chapter 35, and verse 19, we find again God speaks about the winking eye. Listen to what it says. Psalm, chapter 35, and verse 19. Let not them that are mine enemies wrongfully rejoice over me, neither let them wink with the eye that hate me without a cause. For they speak not peace, but they devise deceitful matters against them that are quiet in the land. And so you see here you have the winking eye. Then in Proverbs chapter 30 and verse 17, you have again what is called the mocking eye. In Proverbs chapter 13 and verse 17, we find the Word of God says these things concerning violence. Listen to it. The eye that mocketh at his father and despiseth to obey his mother. The ravens of the valley shall pluck it out, and the young eagles shall eat it. Then we find also there's the insatiate eye. Now, preacher, what in the world are you talking about? Well, again, Proverbs chapter 27, and look with me at verse 20, if you will. Hell and destruction are never full, so the eyes of man are never satisfied. Then in Isaiah chapter 13 and verse 18, and I'm going rather rapidly because we want to cover this material, but these are the various kinds of eyes that are mentioned in the Word of God. Isaiah chapter 13, and look with me at verse 18, where it says these things. Isaiah chapter 13 and verse 18. Their bows also shall dash the young men to pieces, and they shall have no pity on the fruit of the womb, and their eye shall not spare children. Here you have what is known as a pitiless eye. Then in Jeremiah chapter 7 and verse 11, we find what we call the irreverent eye. Now by that we mean that there is no reverence with regard to the things of the Lord God of heaven. Jeremiah chapter 7 and verse 11. Is this house which is called by my name become a den of robbers in your eyes? Behold, I, even I, have seen it, saith the Lord. Now notice, what in the world are you talking about? Here we find the eye that has no reverence. And in Ezekiel chapter 22, and look with me again now, the book of Ezekiel chapter 22, and look with me at verse 26, and we find again, this is what is called the irreverent eye. Ezekiel chapter 22 and verse 26. And thou shalt take thine inheritance in thyself in the sight of the heathen, and thou shalt know that I am the Lord. Now what do we have here? You have the irreverent eye set forth. Then in in 1 Samuel chapter 18, and I'm primarily staying with the Old Testament at this time because of the brevity of time, but we find all through the Scripture the Word of God speaks about the various aspects of the eye. And we find there is what is called the jealous eye. In 1 Samuel chapter 18, look with me again if you will. 1 Samuel chapter 18, we find the jealous eye in verse 9. Listen to what it says, and we see it set forth for our learning. 1 Samuel 18, verse 9. And Saul eyed David from that day and forward. Why? Because the women came out and said, Saul has slain his thousands, and David his 10,000s. And Saul was very wroth, and the saying displeased him. And he said, they have ascribed unto David 10,000s, and to me they have ascribed but thousands. And what can he have more but the kingdom? And Saul eyed David from that day on. That is known as the jealous eye. Then in Proverbs chapter 23, we find also, beginning with verse 29 down through verse 31, you have what is called the drunken eye, or the inflamed eyes of drunkenness. Proverbs chapter 23, and look with me again, verse 29 down through verse 31, and you have here the various aspects of the eye. Who hath woe? Who hath sorrow? Who hath contentions? Who hath babbling? Who hath wounds without cause? Who hath redness of eyes? They that tarry long at the wine, they that go to seek mixed wine. Look not thou upon the wine when it is red, when it giveth his color into cup, when it moveth itself aright. At the last it biteth like a serpent, and stingeth like an adder. And here you have the inflamed eyes of drunkenness. And then in 2 Peter chapter 2, and I'm taking you to the New Testament now, you also have another kind of eye, and this is known in the Scripture today as the lustful eye. 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 14. Listen to it. Having eyes full of adultery, and that cannot cease from sin, beguiling unstable souls, a heart they have exercised with covetous practices, cursed children. Now, we've set this forth before you because these are the various kinds of eyes that are set forth in the Word of God. Now, beloved, I want to ask you a question at this hour. This is the kind of eye that you and I have unless the Lord God of heaven reaches down and saves us and gives us a new eye to follow Him. Now, as we look at the eyes of the Lord Jesus Christ, we will find the variety found in the eyes of our blessed Lord. Take your Bibles now and turn to Matthew chapter 9 for just a moment and look with me at verse 35. The book of Matthew chapter 9, and look with me at verse 35, and the Word of God says these things. And Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Then saith he unto his disciples, The harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. Now what do we have here? We have here the eye of compassion of the Lord Jesus Christ. Notice, he beheld them as a multitude. He was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Again, take your Bibles now and turn with me, if you will, to Mark chapter 10 and look with me at verse 46 down through verse 49. And you have again the eye of the Lord Jesus Christ in the eyes of compassion. Here's the eye of compassion he had upon blind Bartimaeus. In verse 46 we read, And they came to Jericho, and as he went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great number of people, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway side begging. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy upon me. Oh, my radio friend today, I wonder if you know what I'm talking about at this hour. This is the eye of compassion that our Lord had upon blind Bartimaeus. And this is the eye of compassion he has upon you when he reaches down and begins to deal with your soul and show you who you are and what you are and the judgment you're under. But our Lord not only had eyes of compassion, but I want you to notice too, he also had an eye of indignation. Again in Mark chapter 13, and look with me if you will at verse 10 through 17, where we read Mark chapter 13, and beginning with verse 10 down through verse 17, where we find the Word of God is plain with regard to this. Our Lord Jesus was filled with indignation against false religion. And we find in Mark chapter 13 and verse 10, we read these words, And this gospel must first be preached among all nations, but when they shall lead you and deliver you up, take no thought therefore what ye shall speak, neither do ye premeditate, but whatsoever shall be given you in that hour, that speak ye, for it is not ye that speak, but the Holy Ghost. Now the brother shall betray brother to death, and the father the son, and the children shall rise up against their parents, and shall cause them to be put to death. And ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake. But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. And here we find the Lord Jesus Christ is speaking with an eye of indignation against false religion. In Matthew chapter 23, he brings this out very clearly, as he said to the Pharisees, these words in Matthew chapter 23 and verse 23 down through verse 28, where again we read the Word of God. Listen to what our Lord says, and listen to the indignation that stands out. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you pay tithe of mint and anise and cumin, and have omitted the weightier matters of the law, judgment, mercy, and faith. These ought you to have done, and not to leave the other undone. You blind guides which strain at a gnat and swallow a camel. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you make clean the outside of the cup and of the platter, but within they are full of extortion and excess. Thou blind Pharisee, cleanse that first which is within the cup and platter, that the outside of them also may be clean. Here our Lord has the eye of compassion upon the sinner. He has an eye of indignation upon those that are in false religion, and he calls them a group of hypocrites. Now I'm going to ask you a question. Are you a hypocrite today? Are you one that has no forgiveness for your fellow man? Do you look upon those that are of lesser category than you are, and of lesser stature than you are, and you look down upon them like the Pharisee, and you say, I thank you, Lord, that I'm not like these people? Well, my friend, the Lord Jesus Christ is nothing but an eye of indignation upon that kind of an individual. You see, you and I who know the Lord Jesus Christ, we know what it means to have the eye of compassion brought up, given to us, and showered down upon us, because our Lord had an eye of compassion upon us. and how wonderful it is that when our Lord reaches down and saves us, I'll tell you right now, He looks at us and sees us, who we are and what we are and the judgment we're under, and yet He doesn't condemn us, but instead He reaches down and delivers us and washes us in His precious blood and we are cleansed from our sin from then on. My friend, it's the greatest thing that could ever happen to you. And the result of it is this, that our Lord expects from us that we are to have the same kind of an eye upon our fellow man that the Lord Jesus Christ has. Now, what kind of eyes does the Lord Jesus Christ have? We find there are eyes of compassion. You look right next door to your next door neighbor, and you'll find out that that individual, if they're not saved, they are going right straight to a devil's hell. And you and I need to have eyes of compassion upon them. Then we need to have eyes of forgiveness. How many churches today are split up and divided into sects and schisms and so on because there is no forgiveness given to the showered upon each other, I should say, and granted to each other. And my friend, I'll tell you right now, if you have been forgiven by Christ, you can't help but forgive others. Then, coupled with that, there ought to be the eyes of understanding. You see, our Lord understands the situation that people are in better than we do. And you and I need to try to understand sometimes the situations that people are in. Not condemn them, but try to reach down and help them in every way and any way that we possibly can. But in order to do that, you've got to come to know the Lord Jesus Christ first as your Lord and your Savior. If you don't know Him experientially in your own heart as your absolute, all-sufficient Lord and Savior, my friend, I'll tell you right now, you're not ready to meet Him. But one of these days, the Lord Jesus Christ is going to look upon you with His eyes. And my hope it'll be the eyes of compassion and the eyes of forgiveness that has given to you His marvelous forgiveness by the means of His precious blood. You see, the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses from all sin. And we cannot emphasize that enough. And my hope is that today the Lord God of heaven might reach down and deal with some of your hearts that need to know Him. As I've said before, I'll say again, the greatest thing can happen to you, if it ever does, is for the Lord Jesus to reach down and save you. Oh, may He do so now, is my prayer. Until we meet again, this is Pastor Peter North here, saying goodbye, and may the Lord spare you before it's too late.